Romans chapter 11, verse number 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." We'll stop at that passage, or part of the passage there this morning. Let's once again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you, we give thanks unto you. We come into your courts this morning with thanksgiving. And Father, thank you for the goodness and mercy that has been shown unto each and every one of us here. We pray that as we look at these things, that you would open them unto our understanding, Father, and help us to glorify you in the hearing and the receiving and the doing of such things, Father. We look unto you this morning for help. We're not sufficient in and of ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from you. So for the preaching, for the hearing, we ask that you would be with us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a few terms that we find in our text. We find first fruits. We might need to define some things this morning. First fruits and lumps and roots are three things that we see. First fruits, lumps, and roots. Say that 10 times real fast. Yeah. So when we think about what's being said here in regards to first fruits, let's go back and we'll read that in our text there in verse number 16. It says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy." So really we know we're talking about lumps and roots in essence, but the first fruit there being brought in so that we can understand when we get to the olive tree and the roots and the branches. You know, what were first fruits? You think about first fruits, you think about what we find in the Old Testament, and the first of the the harvest was brought, you know, as an offering to the Lord. So what we want to understand by Paul's usage of the word first fruits here is the initial blossoming, the first fruits, the beginning, you know, of what would become, you know, the harvest, the first fruits. The idea of the first, I guess we could say, of the produce of the land. Let's think of it that way. So we know apart from God, there would be no fruit, right? We wouldn't have any fruit at all. If we were having to live off of the land, which I know in a sense we do, it's just that we go to the grocery store and we buy the things that other people have planted and grown and harvested. But if we were having to do that ourselves, I mean, how in the forefront of our minds this would be, our dependence upon God, that he might send the needed amount of rain, and that he might send the needed amount of sunlight, and that he might give the needed amount of strength to be able to care, tend for, you know, the things that we've planted into the ground. But we would be looking to him for the growth, you know, of that, and asking for his blessing, you know, upon that. So when that came forth, they would bring that, you know, to the Lord as an offering. You know, here's the first fruits of the land. We know where this has come from. This isn't come because we have a green thumb. This isn't come because we had the right kind of fertilizer. This isn't come because of some knowledge that we have about, you know, horticulture. we could have all of those things and be an abundant failure. We could have none of those things and be an abundant success because of the Lord. So we know where fruit comes from. We know it's His blessing that causes it to grow, or there would be no harvest. I mean, He made the seed. He who made the seed causes it to grow and to take root, or there would be no tree. And if there were no tree, there would be no fruit. So we understand first fruits from that standpoint. We could go back to a verse that we used this morning. Why is it that we love Him? What does the scripture say? Because He first loved us. There's the first fruit. God caused that to grow, or it wouldn't be there. We love Him because He first loved us. So there's the first fruits of that love. Where did it come from? God spoke it, just like He spoke the worlds into existence, and He said, "Let there be light." There was a time whenever that spark of love appeared, you know, in your heart and mind, and my heart and mind, and the cause, the reason for it to be there was God. God's the reason. So we love Him because He first loved us, and He shed His love abroad in our hearts. So in the sense of first fruits, when we think about what this tree represents here, because we have this olive tree that's mentioned in our text, when we think about what this tree represents here, and we think about the first fruits, how many times do we see in Scripture Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know, so we have this idea of the church. A lot of people think that the church is a New Testament concept. Not so. The Scripture talks about the church in the wilderness, the church out there wandering around in the wilderness. So, you know, it's not a New Testament concept. That the church was part of what we see in the Old Testament. So here we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mentioned throughout the Scripture. So here is a sense, you know, of that lump that God caused first to grow. Yesterday we went through, it's not a place probably that Sister Carolyn visits, but we went through the drive-thru at the donut shop. And as we're driving through and we get to the window, I don't know where she went, but Anna and I were sitting in the front seat, and I looked in there and I saw on the table these great lumps of risen dough. And I said, "Hey, look at that." You know, I mean, they were huge, and they're these great big things. And then what they got was the little donut holes, you know, that. So this great big thing became this little thing, you know. But anyway, we understand what that represents there, and what was happening for that to rise. You know, there was a leavening agent, you know, in there that caused that to rise. And just like we were talking about our love towards God, we know where that came from. You know, that was put. He shed His love abroad in our hearts. We love Him because He first loved us. That leavening agent, you know, we can look at it from that perspective, and that leaven spreads through the whole lump, right? So, you know, here we see the first fruits, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mentioned throughout the Scripture, and you know, here in a sense is that lump that God caused first to grow. I mean, if it's just flour and water and eggs or whatever, you know, we're putting in there, you know, it's not really going to grow except that leavening agent's put in there. So we see here the principle of God being the first cause. I mean, the world didn't just decide to come into existence on its own. God's the first cause of those things. You know, our coming to the place that we've come to in our walk with Him, He's the first cause. He's the reason why we have come to the place that we've come to. So we see this lump as having in it this leavening agent, this first fruit introduced into the loaf that causes it, you know, to rise. And as I think of that, I have a new favorite hymn right now that's not in our hymn book. And I read part of it to you last week. I'm going to read some more of it to you now. But thinking about, as I read this, that lump of dough and what caused it to rise and the first fruits that we've been talking about, the hymn says, "O Jesus Christ, grow Thou in me." You know, isn't that part of that concept that we're talking about there with that lump rising. Oh, Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede, my heart be daily nearer thee. That's part of him growing, you know, in us. Be daily nearer thee from sin. Do we ever think about sin in this way? I hope we do. But from sin daily set free. From sin daily being freed. Make this poor self grow less and less. There's part of what we were talking about this morning in humility. If I'm going to grow less and less, I'm going to have to become more and more humble. And it's back to that same verse of scripture that you like so much, Sister Shelby, you know, that I must, what? Decrease. And if he's going to increase, I'm going to have to decrease. So here's this, make this poor self grow less and less. Be thou my life and aim. Oh, make me daily through thy grace more worthy of thy name. And that speaks to me what we were talking about this morning about the ability to speak, the fact that we have speech, the fact that we can communicate. What are we going to communicate? God's given us this ability to communicate. What's going to come out of our mouths? You know, make me worthy, more worthy of thy name. Daily more filled with thee, my heart. Daily from self more free. Let faith in thee and in thy might my every motive move. Be thou alone my soul's delight, my passion, and my love. That would grow, you know, in us. So we understand the concept of this that we're talking about in first fruits. We're talking about the lump and talking about the increase and talking about that growing. We know what a leavening agent does, you know, in flour and breads and things when that's being baked. But we're talking about growing up in him. And do we have scripture for that? Sure we do. That's Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Think about that, in the measure of every part. You put that leavening agent in there, what's going to happen to every part of that loaf, of that lump? It's going to be affected by every part of it's going to, it's not just part of the loaf that gets affected, it's all of the loaf that gets affected. So the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. But we see, you know, there this concept of what we're talking about of Christ growing in us, Christ increasing in us. So you have this fledgling church, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's grown into this, what's represented here as an olive tree. That's what we see here in our text. So that's what we have in essence there. A people called of God that, as 2 Kings 19:30 says, shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. So here's the beginnings of the church taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. So you have this tree, and God calling Israel out from among all the other nations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this work, what we see here, what we're reading, this work we as Gentiles have been grafted into. We've been made partakers of these things. So grafted into that which was first given to them. It's what the Lord says in John 4:22 when he's speaking to the woman in Samaria, and he says, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, given first unto them. It's this first fruits, right? That's what we're talking about. Everybody following me? This idea of first fruits that we have here. So salvation is of the Jews. Doesn't mean we're saved by Jews. I've never... You know, I wasn't converted by a Jew, and that's not what we're saying. Salvation is of the Jews. It was given unto them. First given unto them the oracles of God. Romans 3, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, Paul says, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And then Romans 9:4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. These were the things that were given unto them: the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. Whose are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, because that's part of it there. When we think about that, I mean, as far as Israel goes, not all Israel is Israel, but there's Israel within Israel, and there's Israel among the Gentiles, right? There is an Israel of God among the nations, and it doesn't have to be a physical people only. You know, we had a physical people only as far as taken out from among the nations who were given the oracles, but there is a Israel within Israel, and there is an Israel within the Gentiles. There's an Israel that God has called out of all people. We see in Revelations, every tongue, every nation, every tribe, and it goes on. So, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who's over all? God blessed forever. Verse number 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel. Do we have scripture for what I said? Yes, right here. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. That's not the way they felt about it, was it? And that gets into the boasting side of what we're looking at here in these verses. Because Paul's telling us as Gentiles, don't boast against the branches. You know, that tree's what has been the first fruits, what's borne you up. You've been grafted into that. Don't boast against them and say, well, they missed their Messiah. They're written off. You know, forget about them. They're not worthy. We weren't worthy, you know, as far as worth is concerned. But not as though the word of God hath taken that effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. So, you know, Paul's telling us, you know, they arrived into a position where, you know, they thought, we're Abraham's seed. And we see that in Scripture where they actually answer the Lord back that way. You know, we've never been in bondage to anyone. We're Abraham's seed. But they were in bondage to sin at that very moment. So, you know, we can see that the attitude that they had, this prideful, this boastful attitude that led to a place where they didn't see their need of Christ, led to those branches being broken off. And we being grafted, you know, in. The Lord says in Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, or Paul says in Galatians 29, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I'm not physically an Israelite, not physically a Jew, but as I read here, being in Christ, I am Abraham's seed. Here's this tree still again, right? Here's this olive tree that we've been grafted into. So we see that being Christ's, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises that were given unto them. Firstly, the first fruits. We could put it this way when we think about this idea of boasting. Any boasting that we do that does not have its foundation in Christ is evil. So any boasting that does not have its foundation in Christ is evil. That's evil boasting. I mean, you think about what James even talks about in chapter 4 when he mentions, go to you who say that we'll go into such and such a city and buy and sell, you know, and make a gain, you know, stay there a year and make a gain, when what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And he actually goes into saying all other such boasting is evil. So if we're going to make our boast, as Paul says, make that boast in the Lord. If the Lord will, in that sense, we'll do, you know, this or that. As far as my salvation is concerned, I'm not boasting in me, but I'm boasting in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? I mean, how many people boast in themselves? And yet, the fingers on their hands and the toes on their feet And everything about them God's given, and yet they boast in themselves. They don't give glory unto whom it is due. Lord, you've given me these hands. You've given me these feet. You've given me the ability to be able to get up in the morning, go to work, and earn, you know, wage for my family and have the things that are necessary as far as food and clothing are concerned. You know, you received the glory. You received the honor, because I wouldn't even have these things if it weren't for you. How can I boast in them? Did I give myself these things? No. You know, was I in my mother's womb, you know, just grunting and groaning really hard, saying, okay, I'm going to grow some toes and I'm going to grow some, you know, fingers? No. You know, he formed me in my mother's womb. So he receives the glory. How can I boast as though I hadn't received it? It's all of grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So God planted the tree. We had those first fruits. We're just divining some terms this morning as far as we'll get. He planted the tree that we've been grafted into. What do we have to boast in but Christ? How is it that we've been grafted in? It's only in Christ. If we're in Christ, then we're what? We read Abraham's seed. We're grafted into this olive tree. You know, God's done something miraculous. I'm not saying that he hasn't done anything miraculous with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but that's true too. How would they ever have found him? How would Abraham ever have gone, you know, where he went and became what he became to be the father of the faithful, you know, in that sense, apart from God's working in him? But, you know, it takes a miracle to save a man. It's not nothing that a person is saved. It's a miracle that someone is saved. And God does something here that is contrary to nature. And that's in salvation, isn't it? I mean, our nature, what is our nature like apart from the work of grace within us? It's towards sin, it's towards evil, right? So here, God's doing something, and there's a picture there of this. So you have a natural olive tree. What's being grafted in? What do we read about that's being grafted in? A wild olive tree is being grafted in. So that's something that's contrary to the nature of the natural, you know, olive tree. We have this wild olive branch being grafted into the natural olive tree. And if we had not been grafted in, how would we have any hope at all, spiritually speaking? But we've been grafted in by the grace of God. So if we're going to boast, it's going to be in him. It's in Christ that we boast. Psalm 34:2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Anybody finish that? You know that psalm? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and will be what? Glad. Will be glad. The humble. Now, the prideful, the boastful, that would boast themselves against the branches, they're not going to rejoice in that. But the humble, those who are like mind, who understand that, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves is the gift of God, are going to rejoice in the hearing of that and be glad in glorifying him. He receives the glory and the honor. Psalm 44:8 says, in God we boast all the day long. If we're going to boast, there's our boast. In God we boast all the day long. Typically, if you've come up to me after a sermon and you said something to me along the lines of, I enjoyed the sermon today, you know, typically, what are you going to hear from me? You know, give God the glory. Give the Lord the thanks. I'm not going to boast in myself. You know, if there was anything there for you, that was of any help to you, if we're going to make our boast, it's going to be in him. Our boast is in God. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. In heaven, we're not going to be boasting in ourselves, are we? When we're thinking about the concept of forever there, we're going to be praising him and glorifying him. And then some verses that you are familiar with, Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And then 1 Corinthians 1:31, lastly, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What do I have to glory in? I don't have anything to glory in. Anything good that I am, anything good that I've done, I have him to thank, him to praise, him to glorify, him to honor, you know, for those things. So as we look at some of that again, just going back through it and what we've read in Romans 11 and trying to define some of these terms, we see that in verse number 16, the first fruit, we understand. Yeah, this is a tree that God's planted. And the inception of it, you know, as we see over and over in Scripture, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see that over and over again. But if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness. Think about that. I asked one of the kids last night, I said, what do you think that means, the fatness? And they said, well, I guess it's big. I said, well, it has to do with, you know, the vine and branches. You know, he is the vine and we are the branches. You know, we're partaking. Without him, we can do nothing. We're receiving everything that we need as a branch to bear any fruit from, you know, him. So we're partaking of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. I mean, here all this was given to Israel first. And they were to be a light unto the Gentiles. And we've received from the fatness of that olive tree. And so he says in verse number 18, don't boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you're not the one that's bearing the root, but the root's bearing you. And so we see Paul get into verse number 19, as he often does. He says, thou wilt say then. So he's anticipating, isn't he? Someone having an argument. Someone is going to have an objection, you know, to this. And so he anticipates somebody saying, well, the reason why they were broken off is so that we could be grafted in. Well, he says, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by faith. So he says, don't be high-minded. Take heed, though you think you stand, right? Scripture says, lest you fall. And we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that's a far cry from boasting, isn't it? Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches because of unbelief, take heed lest he also spare not thee because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. And then verse 22, I don't think we read this before. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, and this is where we were last week, about life from the dead, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if that were to change, you know, and they begin to believe upon the Lord as we do, in Christ as the Messiah who has already come. So, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which was wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, just trying to define some of those terms as we're going through there, because it can be, it is confusing to a lot of people, you know, but trying to look at some of those things as far as the first fruit and the lump and the branches and the tree, and trying to understand what some of those things are to kind of lay some groundwork and some foundation work there for what we'll be looking at. And for what we see, you know, as Paul is saying, you know, here over and over again to us, that it appears there's going to be this grafting back in, you know, of Israel, that there's going to be, you know, a great work like there was done, you know, in us as Gentiles with them again at some point in the future. It appears that way. So it seems to be the thing that he's driving home over and over again here unto us. And what did we see last week? Last week we saw that being the case, it's not going to diminish anything in us, but actually increase our joy, you know, because they're brought back, you know, into that natural olive tree.